The Anton Savage Show with Kearys.ie on News Talk.
Taste of Dublin is on the way. It's going to be June, 13th through 16th. So it is already happening if you want to shoot round. One of the people who has added is Mark Mariarty. Mark Mariarty is, of course, M&S Irish Food Ambassador, multi-award winning chef and author of Flavour, Everyday Food Made Exceptional, which the one and only Stanley Tucci says, and I quote, "I've eaten Mark's food and now I've read his book. Mouthwatering. Literally. Buy it." What a thing. How do you get Stanley Tucci to say stuff like that, Mark?
It was funny, his email came back and he said, "What do you want me to say?" And I said, "Something that will make people buy it." And that's what came back, literally, buy it. It's like, thanks, Stanley.
Does he know his stuff?
He does. I actually did an event with him last year. He was in Dublin filming and I was tasked with cooking his lunch. So we did a two-course lunch, which we filmed, which is all great. Like, he's an Oscar-nominated actor, so he's good at that. But then the best part was he was on his lunch break. So they cut the cameras, the crew all went away, and we just got to sit and drink a martini and eat lunch and chat for about an hour. And one thing I learned from him was he actually knows his onions. Like, he knows quality, he knows how things are produced. He's friends with all these chefs. And it was brilliant. He was a really cool guy, yeah.
You have had the opportunity over the years to work with some fairly significant heavy-hitting chefs before becoming a fairly significant heavy-hitting chef yourself. Who do you admire?
I started off, my admiration started with the likes of Hugh Fearnley, Whinningstall and River Cottage, because as a kid I was mad about ingredients. I was into fishing and growing vegetables, which in hindsight, I've gone through the whole doing all the fancy chef tricks and learning all that stuff, and then you actually learn the key to great quality cooking is just getting good ingredients. So he was my first, Hugh Fearnley, Whinningstall. I could still quote quotes from some of the episodes, which as a 7 or 8 year old kid is quite a strange thing to be watching on. I think it was Discovery Home and Leisure.
Did you ever see him do the pike?
Yes, the jelly pike with all
that
the
that just looks like way too much effort.
Yeah.
He was picking bones out of that for 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember we're doing a new cookbook and I was doing a Victoria sponge and there was an episode that sticks in my mind where he brought his Victoria sponge to the local, I think it was Dorset Market, and no lady at 85, her quote was, "Too much icing sugar is an attempt to disguise incompetence." Was there. And I don't know why that's always stuck in my head. So the icing sugar in my book, in the next photography, perfectly level where it still shows off the cake making ability underneath.
You mentioned learning all of the various different chefy tips. Give us a few of them. What are the things when you finish a dish or when you are starting one, you think, I need something to give it?
Yeah. Like, the key to cooking and that I'm doing now is, how do we make people's midweek meals at home that they only have half an hour to bang together for their family of 5 or 6? How do we add a little bit more pleasure into them? Generally, it's store cupboard ingredients. It's seasoning. So the difference between good and great food is a little addition of salt, maybe a knob of butter, some good quality olive oil drizzled over salad. It might be adding a splash of soy sauce to your mushrooms to taste them more like mushrooms. It might be adding a little squeeze of lemon juice to some yogurt and putting it on top of a grilled piece of chicken, maybe with a teaspoon of curry powder. And it's that, they're the little things that you have in your cupboard. They take 30 seconds to put together and they just turn dinner from something that's functional into something that's enjoyable. And temperature control is a huge thing for home cooking. It's just understanding that if you're cooking a steak on a pan, it's controlling that temperature so you're not burning it on the outside and it's raw on the inside, or using your oven effectively. It's not about fancy ingredients and spending loads of money.
That helps, though, one assumes.
It can help. Do you know what? It's, as I say, it's all about good quality ingredients and getting them consistently is the key to, I suppose, restaurant cooking. I'm a Taste Dublin this weekend and we're doing our demos with M&S, and the reason I'm kind of working with them is not only they're using loads of Irish quality produce now and I'm helping them find sort of Irish producers, but it's the condiment section. So it's going to the supermarket and they're the sort of cheat ingredients. So it's like they have concentrated chicken stock, which is like add a tablespoon of that to your spaghetti bolognese and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is delicious. Or they have this thing called finishing jus now, which is €3 for the little pot. And I do a lot of private dining and I'll actually, when I see it, I buy it all and I use it for sauce making. It's basically like restaurant quality jus in a little pot. Or it's the easy chopped garlic and the easy chopped chili so you don't have to do it at home. These are the sort of things that make your cooking at home easier.
People pay you to come to their house and cook for them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they do, and you'll find my email on my website. I do a lot of that. Now we're looking to set up a studio, hopefully opening the end of this year, early next year, where I can start. I'll actually have a private location, so I don't have to keep driving around the country.
I assume there must be times when you go into the house and go, oh, you cannot expect me to cook with this equipment.
No, we can do anything out of anywhere. One thing I learned from working in the greenhouse for 5 years, where we had it was basically set up to be a cafe and we won 2 Michelin stars out of it, was once you're organised, you can do anything out of anywhere. You can cook any quality of food with, once you have consistent heat and refrigeration, it doesn't matter what the setup is, you can make it happen.
Well, I remember reading, I think it was Heston Blumenthal saying that part of the reason that he changed some of his cooking approach and style was he had domestic gas, I think, I don't know if it was the Fat Duck originally, but it meant that he had limited gas pressure and therefore had to change timing of dishes accordingly. And
that happened so much. Like the original Fat Duck, he was doing classic French bistro food and he wanted to do big numbers based on the location. The Fat Duck was in this old 1600 house and there were fire regulations. And as you say, they couldn't have the same pressure of gas. So then he was like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And that started the whole science thing where you could plug in water baths and have induction hobs and electricity. And now you go into the Fat Duck and there's no gas at all. There's no cooking going on. It's all a scientific process. And that changed cooking at the time. And it's like any business.
There's nobody standing over a hot stove in the Fat Duck.
There's no hot stove in the Fat Duck. You go into that kitchen and it's tiny. Like it's no bigger than this studio we're sitting in here, which is, I don't know, square footage. It's probably about
it's huge, it's cavernous, it's like a cathedral of radio.
But it's like any business. Sometimes your circumstance forces you in a certain direction. And once you're stubborn enough and you're organised enough, you'll make it work. A lot of the time I've gone to do events all over the world and you go to like Singapore or you go to the Middle East and they're like, okay, we want you to do a menu. And you're like, great, what time of the year is it? Like, oh, you can get anything you want from anywhere in the world. And all of a sudden you're sat there going, well, what the hell am I going to do? Whereas at least here in Ireland, you go, okay, it's June. I ring up the veg supplier. What's in at the moment? You've got beautiful asparagus. You've got Girolle mushrooms. You've got wild garlic is just finishing up. You've got beautiful spinaches. And then it's like, okay, lamb's perfectly in season. And all of a sudden menus start to write themselves.
Although lamb's pricey at the moment.
Yeah, we were just talking off air about our friend Rick Higgins. He's great for a good price on lamb. You can tell him myself and Anton sent you. But again, I don't mind paying a little bit extra when you know you're getting great quality when it's coming from an Irish supplier. And look, you're eating something like meat. You don't have to eat it every night of the week.
The other thing that's annoying, though, is all of the cheap cuts have become expensive because they've become popular.
Yeah, there are no cheap cuts.
No.
I've been speaking about this at Taste Dublin as well. So one of the dishes I'm doing is just a mushroom ragu, where we basically treat the mushrooms like you would mince. We chop them up. It's something I would make like on a Monday, Tuesday, because when I worked it out, it's about 160 a portion. I was up with my M&S work in Monaghan Mushrooms there a few weeks ago, and I was fascinated by how mushrooms are grown. So they're basically the food of the future. 24 hours from spore to the mushroom that you would see on shelf.
Is it?
It only takes 24 hours to grow. The original Irish word for mushroom is Fáilte Nithe. Now it's been anglicised to mushroon in recent years, but Fáilte Nithe translates as the growth of one night.
No.
So when you come to 50 years down the line feeding world populations, something like mushrooms that are nutritious, delicious when you cook them off, they almost taste like meat and grow in 24 hours. Like Monaghan mushrooms are producing 120,000 kilos of mushrooms every week going all over the world.
120,000 kilos?
Yeah, and mushrooms are not heavy. Like I saw this operation with M&S and it blew my mind.
Where do you stand on washing a button mushroom?
No.
Oh, chance. Come on, Mark.
No,
it doesn't make a blind
bit
of difference. No. Don't get that.
You don't wash.
Life
don't
is too short to be wiping them with
no,
tissues.
No, I don't wash them. I don't wash them at all.
What?
No, I don't
They're
wash.
They're covered in grit.
Not at all. When you see when you see half the stuff we're eating, don't worry about a little bit of grit. No, you don't have time. And they're sponges. So the minute you add water to mushrooms, they just soak it up.
Knock it out of it anyway when you cook them.
Key for you when you're cooking mushrooms, don't add salt too early. So if you add salt at the beginning when you put your mushrooms in the pan, it releases all the liquid that are in there. And you get that boiling, grey, horrible, rubbery mushroom. That's why adding salt too early. So always add your salt to the very end after you've caramelised them, got that lovely meaty texture. And as I say, they're a food of the future.
Tex saying, Anton, I always wash the mushrooms.
Who?
Tex says, Anton, I always wash the mushrooms.
Tex, we have limited time in life and we need to use it effectively in washing mushrooms.
As long as I don't have to wipe them with tissue. If I can go straight to cooking them with the grit on, I'm all with you. What about trimming the stems?
No. No. That's all flavor. Again, as a chef, I'm always thinking I'm paying per kilo and I want to get my return on investment on every one of those.
Preaching to the choir here, Mark. Text, Anton, leftover wine, few days in the fridge. What does Mark think about throwing it into a stew?
Absolutely. Yeah, I like my house at home has empty bottles that have been there for weeks and weeks. Absolutely perfect. The whole idea of adding wine to a stew or a pasta is to give it acidity and to lighten up the flavour of a dish. So it doesn't matter if it's completely oxidised, you're still going to get, even if it's turned to vinegar, even better. That's what you want.
Where do you stand on MSG?
Love it.
Do you?
Absolutely love it.
I'm a huge fan of MSG.
I love MSG.
I think it's got a bad reputation recently.
Now, you have to be careful not to use it all the time because then everything starts to taste exceptionally bland. But I won't name names. I've worked in some of the best restaurants in the world. And you can be assured that there are MSG products. They won't call it MSG. I worked in a very famous top 10 restaurant in the world in Australia a long time ago. And all the recipes had what they called XLB powder. And I kept saying, what's this XLB that they've had? And they were like, oh, that's the monosodium glutamate. And it's just a little sprinkle here and there. You can get it naturally in products. Things like tomatoes are really high in MSG, onions, garlic. So it is a natural product. Just use it sparingly, or otherwise your palate goes very numb very quickly.
Why? Because you're getting so much umami, you have to live without it.
You eat something that doesn't have MSG and you go, this doesn't taste of anything.
You're going to have to, you can do a huge favour for a relationship. A text to say, my wife insists on peeling mushrooms.
Oh God, yeah. Why? That why would be the question.
Well, you could add, don't bother, it's not worth it. And he can then tell his wife, or her wife as the case may be, and we can do something for this couple.
As a very happily married man for the last 2 years, I would say, whatever she wants to do, you just play along, and so long as she's happy, then everyone's winning.
Not only an excellent chef, but wise, Mark, wise. Another one. I, too, always clean mushrooms. Well, Stanley Tucci says he knows what he's talking about. He says that you don't have to. You can just fling them straight into the pan. And what harm has it been? Once the grit gets up to temperature anyway, what could be in it?
Once it goes over, what's the 80 degrees, you're fine, you can eat it all.
If somebody wants to see a taste, when are you going to be? Are you doing demos today?
I'm shooting over today, so I'm there at 3:30 today on the M&S stage, and I'm there this evening again at 6:45. I'm cooking that mushroom ragu, some lamb rack, and it should be a great day.
Gent and a scholar, thank you so much. Mark Mariarty, and of course Mark's new book, Flavour, Everyday Food Made Exceptional, all good bookshops now.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.